Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 12. Book of Ezekiel in chapter 12. It's good to see each one here this evening. It's good to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. Sing these songs and look around His Word. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again this evening. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see, and see not, they have ears to hear, and hear not. For they are a rebellious house. Eyes to see, and see not, ears to hear, and hear not. For they are a rebellious house. Last week we began our first primary point, which was the sad moral condition. And we began to look at that sad moral condition that the children of Israel were in, the house of Judah was in, Jerusalem was in. The people were in a sad moral condition. We said last week that we couldn't help but think of our own country and the times in which we live in. We are in a sad moral condition. We are a rebellious people. You name it, they're rebellious about it. Most of all, they're rebellious against God. They don't like anything to do with the one true God. They don't like His law. And therefore have done all within their power to destroy it. And to take it down. And to make it null and void. Of no effect. They think by doing that, they've done away with the law of God. Well, we're going to find out one day that we haven't done away with the law of God. Amen. The law of God still stands. Amen. Regardless of what you and I do with it. But the real sad thought of all of this, concerning the sad moral condition, it was sad that the people of Israel, the house of Israel, the house of Judah, it was sad that they were in this moral condition, for they were the people of God. And so today, the real sad thing of it all is that a lot of God's people in this country, across the world, are in a sad moral condition. What a shame it is. As we looked at some scriptures last week, we saw that that's what he said concerning the children of Israel as they were coming out of the wilderness. In the wilderness, that's what he said to them in Isaiah's day. They had eyes to see, but could not see. They had ears to hear, but could not hear. They were a rebellious people. And in the day of Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this earth, he said, they have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. And that's why he spoke in parables. He said in the book of Luke, chapter 8, told his apostles. That's why he spoke in parables, because it was given unto them to know. But unto the multitude it was not given for them to know. We're going to continue this thought tonight of the sad moral condition that they were in. Sad, sad condition. This point here is they were in a condition of sad moral stupidity. Sad moral stupidity. Look at verse 2 again. Which have eyes to see and see not, they have ears to hear and hear not. That's moral dullness he's talking about. They were morally stupid. That's the title of the message tonight. Morally stupid. Moral stupidity. You're going to see tonight that a refusal to adhere to the Word of God, a refusal to embrace the Word of God, a rebellion against the Word of God, unbelief, will lead to a lack of good moral values. Just as it did in the life of Israel. And we've come far enough into the book of Ezekiel that you've seen some of the horrendous condition that existed in the land. It parallels what we have today parallels with what we've seen in the book of Ezekiel. You say, well, I don't know if Israel was quite that bad. Well, he charged Israel with sodomy. He charged Israel with being like Sodom and Gomorrah. Look with me at the book of Deuteronomy. We want to compare what we have here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12, verse 2, with what we read in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 29. In verse 2, and Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, and unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land. You've seen it. You witnessed it. the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Well, a couple things there. Israel had seen. They were an eyewitness of God's working and God's power in delivering them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. But they didn't understand it. God didn't give them the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And they remain a rebellious people, a stiff-necked people, a hard-hearted people. Every one of us that are here tonight, I think we're old enough, that we have witnessed by historical accounts, just as the Israelites living in Ezekiel's day had witnessed by historical account, God's workings with Israel. We have witnessed by historical account the beginnings of the United States of America, and God using some men to write the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America, and base it upon godly principles taken right from the Word of God. Because they read their Bibles, and they knew their Bibles, and because that was established that way, God was with this country, God had blessed this country, and He blessed this country mightily. Amen. But they did not understand it because God has not given them eyes to see and ears to hear. Salvation's of the Lord. Amen. And to see the mighty power of God takes a manifestation from God. For us to see it. It took it for Israel to see it. And praise God, we have a record of some men in Israel's span that were wonderful men of God. We call them the patriarchs. We call them prophets. We mentioned David last week. We can mention Daniel. Daniel, a young lad when he was taken to Babylon, 17, 18 years of age. But he was committed to the Lord. He was committed to the ways of the Lord. And he was going to do that which was pleasing to the Lord. And right there in the first chapter of the book of Daniel, it tells us that Daniel purposed that he was not going to defile himself with the king's dainties, with the king's meat. Later on, he doesn't mention him, but he and his three partners would not bow down to the idol. When the writing was signed that anyone to pray to other than to the king would be tossed in the lion's den, when he knew the writing was signed, when he knew it was signed into law, it was in effect. And his windows being open, he prayed unto the Lord. He prayed unto the Lord. Of course, he was an older fellow by then. But in the first chapter, he's just a young lad. And he's purposed to walk in the ways of the Lord and not to be defiled with the king's meat. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, in chapter 6. And everybody loves Isaiah chapter 6 and the first few verses. Well, we're going to skip over the first few verses tonight. But you know the account. You know the record. Isaiah had this vision of the Lord, and the Lord wanted him to be his messenger. Wanted him to speak for him. In verse 8 it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Isaiah, because he had seen the Lord, saw the Lord high and lifted up, and that great vision that he seen, and he said, that is, the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." In other words, you hear, but you don't understand. You see, but you don't perceive. "Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." These are charges that the Lord had against Israel. And it goes on, says, "Then said I, Lord, how long? How long am I to do this? How long am I to go to this people that don't hear or hear but don't understand, that see but don't perceive, and to feed them the word of the Lord? How long am I to do that? How long am I to fill them with your words?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." In other words, until destruction comes. He was to keep sounding forth the sound of warning. And we are too. Amen. We are too. We're to continue to sound forth the sound of warning. Blowing the trumpet, if you please. Sounding forth the word of God. Because judgment is coming. And we're to do it until the day of the Lord. Till he comes, just as Isaiah was to do. And so we already referenced the book of Luke in chapter 8 in verse 10. Actually, I referenced it as having read it last week. It is actually down for this week. That was a mistake on my part. Misspoke. But Luke chapter 8 in verse 10 and the disciples wanted to know after the parable of the sower, why that he spoke in parables. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now, it's easy to understand when you say, I mean, because somebody that doesn't see, or somebody that has eyes to see with, but they don't see, we say they're blind. Somebody that has ears to hear with, but they don't hear, we say they're deaf. Well, he's not saying they were blind physically or deaf physically. He's saying they were blind spiritually and deaf spiritually. That's why often, sometimes I'll pray, "Lord, open their eyes that they might see. Open their ears that they might hear." We sing, have a song that we sing. "Open mine eyes that I might see glimpses of truth. Open my ears that I might hear." You see, the will of God, the will of God was made known unto them. The will of God, and as we go on and through this 12th chapter, we're going to see, we're going to be going back to Jeremiah, and we're going to see the years that Jeremiah told and prophesied of it and what they did with it. But the will of God was made known unto them. They had the mental and the moral faculties which are necessary to understand it. Yet they didn't lay hold of it. They didn't understand it. And they disregarded it. Do you know anyone like that today? I mean, they're smart as whip. But they don't understand the Word of God. They don't understand His way. They don't understand His principles. They don't lay hold of it. They disregard it. That's where our country is today. How many years has it been now since they have put forth that all-out effort to remove the Ten Commandments from every courthouse in America? Look at, and this is spoken concerning Israel, concerning Judah. But boy, it parallels with where we're at today. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 115. We're talking about moral stupidity. They have eyes to see, but see not. They have ears to hear, but hear not. And why? Because they're a rebellious people. Boy, that just fits us to a T today. And as I said, the sad thing is I see so many Christians that are fitting in that mold. They're fitting in that mold. Look at Psalms 115 and verse 5. Concerning dumb idols, helpless idols, and man's just like them. We think we can do wonderful things. We think we can do great things. We can't do anything. We can't even draw our next breath of our own doing. Verse 5, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. That is concerning those idols which men make of wood and stone and whatever they make them of their own imagination. Notice what he says in verse 8. They that make them men are like unto them. They're just like them. They're stupid beings. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Not only the men that make them are like them, but those that trust in them are like them. They are spiritually stupid. These that make them and these that trust in them, they are spiritually stupid. Amen. And because they're spiritually stupid, they are morally stupid. Amen. Where has America come today? Because she is spiritually stupid, she is morally stupid. Scripture puts it another way. They call evil good and good evil. Yep. Chapter 92. Chapter 92 and verses 5 and 6. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Notice the next verse. Verse 5, talking about the ways of the Lord. Talking about his works, his thoughts. A brutish man. A stupid man. Foolish. That's what that word means. Brutish. Stupid. A stupid man knoweth not. That is, he doesn't know the works of God. He doesn't know the thoughts of God. Neither doth a fool understand this. A fool does not understand the works of God. He does not understand the thoughts of God. Curious that the psalmist used two different words there, but meaning nearly identically the same. Stupid, foolish, and fool, foolish. The fool. So the brutish man, the stupid man, and the fool. They know not the works of God, nor his thoughts. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. Book of Zechariah. And you understand that Zechariah was written in the days of King Darius. King Darius. Chapter 7. Or I guess if I say that right, it's Darius. King Darius. Get the long A and the long I in there, like it shows. But Zechariah chapter 7. Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. What are men doing to the Word of God today? They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want you to preach the Word of God to them. Sad, but in many of our churches, there are pastors standing in the pulpit that they are just preaching the things the people want to hear. Yeah, they're, as it said in Jeremiah, they're just tickling their ears, speaking smooth things unto them, things that are palatable. When we see and hear the Word of God, when we see it with our eyes, when we hear it with our ears, and do not profit from it, it is spiritual dullness. We're being spiritually stupid. Some gather together in pretense to worship. In pretense to worship. They hear the word of truth? Maybe. They have nothing wrong with their hearing. They got better hearing than I got. Maybe they hear, maybe they don't. But if they do hear it, there's no change in them. And I have to believe that some, many, most hear it. Because in my years as pastor, they walk by me and they say, that was a great message, pastor. That was a good message, pastor. That was a wonderful message, pastor. But they do not do it. They do not heed to it. They have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. And let me tell you, there's a lot of folks that name the name of Christ, that are sitting in the pews of our churches, that are just like that. Just like that. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 43. Jesus said, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Who did he say this to? He said this to those who made a profession. They said they believed. Verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. And he begins his discourse with them. And he comes down to verse 43, and he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, ye are of your father the devil." In other words, they're not saved, they're not born again, they really have not believed the word of truth. And I'm afraid we have many sitting in our pews of our churches today that Jesus is saying that to them, those very words. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11. Where we read, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." You see, if he doesn't give you understanding, you won't understand, because there's none that understandeth in and of himself. Amen. It takes the power of God to be able to understand the things of God, in order to see the things of God, in order to hear the things of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He said, "I charge thee therefore," to Timothy, "before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." The Lord Jesus Christ at his appearing. Are going to judge those alive and those dead. We're all going to be caught up together. And his kingdom. That's talking about, you see, the first part is his appearing. The last part is his second coming, when he sets up his kingdom. And at the end of that, what's he going to do? He's going to judge again. And now notice what he tells Timothy. He says, "Preach the word." He's saying this to a young pastor. "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." In other words, preach it now. Preach it when it's in season. Preach it when it's out of season. Preach it when they like it. Preach it when they don't like it. Continue to preach the word. Some think that this is just the gospel that he's talking about here. He's not talking about just the gospel, because he had given the admonition to the Ephesian elders to preach the whole word of God. He said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." And then there, to do likewise. And so he's telling Timothy the same thing. But there's coming a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll not hold to sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they're going to get people, listen to people that they want to listen to, that are saying things they want to hear, not things they don't want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, unto falsehood.
Right. Amen.
Fiction. It's not the truth. And we have a lot of those charlatans today.
Yes.
That are tickling their ears. That are teaching them and preaching the things to them they want to hear. And, sad to say, that's some of us. That's why I can name several churches that have had members leave because they don't want to hear it and they've gone somewhere else, where it meets more to their fancy.